You're listening to the Unsigned Chat podcast. Hello everyone and a very warm welcome to episode 61 of the Unsigned Chat podcast with me, your host, Matt. How are you all doing? We have another fantastic episode and a great guest to have a chat with. Before we jump into this episode, if you haven't already, please do go and check out our previous episodes too. So now let's jump straight into this episode. This week I'm joined on the show with Alpha Cook. So Alpha, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. So people that don't know anything about you, do you want to introduce yourself and give them a bit of a backstory to you?
Sure, so I am Alva Cook. I'm a 22-year-old singer-songwriter and actress based in Manchester, but I was born in Galway, Ireland. So moved over to Manchester for uni, and then kind of, I've always been singing, always been writing, and it's only over the last year that I've gotten my songs produced and started kind of delving out into the world of music. So yeah.
What made you want to become a singer songwriter then?
I think growing up, my family was so embedded in music, and the culture, the Irish culture, is just so filled with music anyway. So I've been performing since I was about six, and then my mum threw me in voice lessons and I knew I had the talent for it. So I just kind of pursued it, and then writing my own songs was a way of, you know, bringing my own personal experiences and life into music. So I think that was kind of what inspired me, and my parents have always just pushed me to keep going. So that's why I'm where I am now.
And you say you did acting as well?
Yes.
So what was the first thing? Was singing the first thing you got into, or was it acting the first?
So it was actually both. I got into a theatre school when I was about five or six and started doing musicals and plays, and the singing was always where my passion lay, because I just found singing so enjoyable. It always made me really happy, and you know, learning new songs every week was so exciting. And then the acting came more naturally as I got older. So I went to uni then, and I studied vocals and performance, but always with a basis in musical theatre. So yeah, that's kind of how I've like grown up in that area of music.
How would you describe your music?
So I would say my own music is country, pop, and sometimes there's elements of folk in there as well.
Who's your inspiration? Who do you kind of look up to in the music industry?
Honestly, that changes all the time.
Okay.
But at the minute, it's a pop artist called Renee Rapp. She also trained in musical theatre and grew up in that. So her music now is steering away from that, which is kind of what I'm trying to do as well. And she has explored pop, and I mean, her music is a bit more upbeat than mine is, but she's definitely a big inspiration at the minute. And then older inspirations would be Fleetwood Mac, Kelsey Ballerini, Luke Combs.
What sort of venues do you tend to play for gigs then? Have you got many lined up for this year?
I haven't actually. I'm still looking for venues to gig. I think because I've just graduated uni, and I haven't really had the time between graduating and working to set myself up. So I'm definitely looking for gigs in centre of Manchester and in the surrounding areas as well.
Did you graduate uni with music, or was it acting, a bit of both, or something completely different?
It was actually vocals and performance. So right. Singing and acting predominantly. Yeah.
So was that like a 3-year thing?
Yeah, 3-year degree.
Yeah. Wow, that's good.
Yeah, it was actually the best 3 years ever. And now I'm just trying to spread my wings as much as possible, really, and open every door that I can.
Because I suppose right now it's about networking, isn't it? And reaching out to as many people as possible.
100%. It's all about, you know, who you know. And it's just right place, right time with so many things in the music industry. So that's what I'm trying to keep the faith about, because I think it's so easy to get down on yourself and be hard on yourself for, oh, why aren't things happening yet? But things are happening. Just everybody's on a different timeline.
Absolutely. There's no right or wrong. Mm-hmm. sort of path. I mean, like you say, everyone does things in different times, which is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
What made you want to get sort of interacting then?
So I think I just loved being on stage. I loved the feeling of it. I loved dressing up in the costumes and then mixing that with singing. It was like my two favorite things combined. And I just loved the adrenaline rush I got. I've always been a bit stage, like I've always got a bit of stage fright. But I think through performing, that's helped me a lot because I am quite an anxious person. So pushing myself to get out on stage and become a different character is really therapeutic in a way, because I get to be somebody who isn't myself and I get to live different experiences every time I do a different role. So that's really, it's just really enjoyable for me. And some of the musicals I've done have been completely contrasting characters. So I learn more about myself every time I do a new character as well, which is really fun.
So what musicals have you been in?
So I've been in Into the Woods, Les Mis, and then recently I did a production of 9 to 5, all back in my hometown of Galway, Amateur Productions. And I played Dolly Parton's role in 9 to 5, the musical. Which was really, really fun because it's that country style singing and then, you know, the very over the top acting as well, which was just, it was a blast.
It sounds it.
Yeah.
So if you got any other musicals or productions you're going to be in then this year, or
I'm auditioning. I'm doing auditions currently. So it's just a waiting game, really. It's one of those that you never know what's around the corner, but I'm auditioning for some professional stuff and trying to get as much of that lined up as I can. So fingers crossed that it will all work out in my favour.
So it's pretty much watch this space then.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like to think.
What sort of musical would you like to be? What's like your sort of dream ones that if you could do any like big world touring ones, what's your dream one that you think that's the role I would love to play in that musical?
Oh, it's so difficult. I have so many. I think at the minute it would definitely be Bonnie and Clyde. They've just revived it in London. And I have always loved that show. I love true crime as well. So it was like the perfect mix of country singing, musical theatre and true crime. Perfect. Love it. So I think definitely playing Bonnie and Bonnie and Clyde would be a dream. Or then there's a musical called Come From Away, which is like an ensemble of characters during 9/11, and it's exploring the plane landings in Newfoundland. So I think being a part of that would be really special as well.
That's quite different.
Yeah.
What sort of instruments do you play then for your singing songwriting ones?
I play guitar and piano, mainly piano, because that's how I write all of my songs. And the reason I don't play enough guitar is because I always have my nails done. So makes it a bit tricky.
I could understand that. Yeah, yeah. That's one way to ruin the nails.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you self-taught then with guitar and piano, or did you have lessons? Or
I did piano lessons until I think it was literally grade one. I did the two preliminary grades and then I gave up because my teacher wouldn't let me sing while I played. And I was like, no, not having that. So then I taught myself. And then guitar, I did lessons for quite a few years. Yeah.
So she didn't let you sing, so you weren't going back for more?
Pretty much, yeah. I was very stubborn. I still am.
I don't think it's stubborn. I think it's, you know what you want.
Yeah, I knew I wanted to be a singer. I knew I wasn't going to be the next Mozart. So
So you said that you're actually from a musical family. So what sort of things do they do? Or
so my granddad was actually an opera singer. He wow. Yeah, he was a big opera singer in Galway at the time, when he was growing up, when he was in his 30s, 40s. So he obviously passed down that gene. And then my mum's been singing her whole life as well. And some of my cousins went into musical theatre as well. So we're definitely a musically inclined family. And I don't know if it's just an Irish thing, but at every family gathering, we have a sing song at the end of the night. So we'd all gather around and everybody has a party piece that they whip out and sing. And it's just a really special way to end the night whenever we have a big occasion.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, really, really fun.
So it was obviously natural then that you would progress into a music career then.
Yeah, I think it was always kind of written in the stars for me that I was going to follow that path, not only because I loved it, but because nothing else really did.
And what was it like leaving home then?
it was tough because I left in the pandemic, so it was really it was tough, I'm not gonna lie. It was a lot of, oh, I don't know if I can do this, and should I just drop out and go home? Because every day, you know, you're learning online and you're isolated from everybody and everything. And I just found it really, really difficult. So luckily I moved in with my sister when I got to Manchester, and she's been amazing and she's always supported me with my music and everything. So that really helped me, and I'm so glad I stuck it out, because I mean, we'd never be having this chat if I didn't. So
well, that was handy that your sister was in Manchester then.
Yeah, really, really handy. She's she's lived here for like 9 years. So
did she go to uni at Manchester?
She did, yes. She's a therapist.
Oh, she's not musical.
No, she's actually, she can sing, but she chooses not to. So that's on her.
Right, okay. That must cause family conflict.
Actually, no, to be fair. We're all pretty, we all went down our own different routes.
Yeah. Were you one of the ones trying to score Tail ticket?
Oh, honestly, I didn't even try because I didn't want to get that disappointed. I just knew that it wasn't going to happen. So
it was tough going, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe if she does a second release of tickets, I'll go for it. But I have seen her in concert once, so I said, you know what, I'll try. Maybe when the fan base dies down a bit, I'll try again.
Be interesting to see whether her fan base does kind of die down, though, won't it? Because she seems to be so popular at the moment.
I think it's just her completely taking claim of her old music and not rebranding herself, but rebranding who she used to be, and all of that old music is just so special and everyone wants a part of it.
I saw on the news there was quite a few people that obviously couldn't get tickets to her American shows.
Yeah.
So they were all stood outside arenas and whatnot singing her songs.
Oh my God. See, I would do that. I'd just sit out in the rain and listen to it from afar.
It's interesting you mentioned rain, because that rains a lot in Manchester, doesn't it?
Oh, honestly. I think if I wasn't from Ireland, I would have a much more hard time.
Does it rain a lot in Ireland?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nearly as bad as Manchester, but not quite.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So with your singing songwriter then, how many songs have you got written so far?
Oh, that is actually a really difficult question. I'd say I have about 20 songs written, but I've only released 2. So
right.
I have more in the pipeline that are coming out soon. So that's very exciting. But I think I wanted to release a couple first as singles and then maybe work on a potential EP in the future.
So you've got a good catalogue already then?
Yeah, and I think over the last year or two, I've changed my style of writing a bit more. So I've just got loads of very different sounding styles. I think I've tried to find my sound, and I think I finally have. So that's a good thing.
So what was your writing style before then compared to now?
I think it was I focused a lot on the lyrics and the poetic sense of songwriting and trying to be really lyrically clever. Whereas now, you know, if you listen in the charts, obviously that's great and that's gorgeous, but what sells is upbeat, punchy, kind of pop, nearly leaning towards the rock sound quite often. So that's what's popular at the minute. So I think I just leaned into that angsty feel a little bit more.
What's your sort of writing process? How do you go about sort of writing a song? Where do you draw your influences from a song?
So I often tell people, like, my process is quite weird because I will just be inspired by the smallest thing. Like my most recent single, Worst Version of You, I rewrote it 3 times. I wrote it first for a uni assignment, hated it, and then completely rewrote it in my bedroom just one night when I was feeling a bit down, and I just bashed the whole thing out, sent it to my producer, and that's kind of how it came about. But usually I start with the lyrics and I just write everything I'm feeling down on the page, and then I mess around at the piano for a couple of hours and try and link the music and lyrics as best I can.
Do you have like lots of voice notes or lots of scribbles in notepads of ideas?
My notes page on my phone is like just, I wouldn't want anyone to read it because they would think I was crazy.
Is it because like there's no context to what you've written? It's just random.
Completely random, and people would literally just be like, "What is wrong with this girl?"
I think that's quite interesting because there seems to be a lot of people that seem to do that nowadays. It's like voice notes here, voice notes there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say that it's just like a lot of random stuff that they tend to make a note of when it comes into the mind to then come back to later.
Yeah, it's funny because we all are obviously work quite differently, but I think in today's day and age, everything is on our phones anyway. So it's so natural to pick up your phone and just scribble it down rather than get out a pen and paper and actually sit down. Because I feel like it comes a lot more natural when you're just going about your day as normal. Whereas if you try and put pressure on writing and, oh, I need to write this song now and I need to come up with clever lyrics, it's just so much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just whipping out the phone and writing down whatever comes into your head, and then you can kind of process of elimination things out of the lyric.
So how many sort of voice notes have you got then linked to music?
Oh, I'll actually tell you. I think I've got about 500 voice notes. Yeah.
That's a lot, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, some of them are 2 seconds long, just doing a little riff or something. But yeah, I've got about 500 just for music.
So you could probably create a good few number of songs just from picking all them bits together.
100%. Yeah. I think it's difficult because it's a very, like, there. It's very bitty. So I never want to chop things up too much. But I think with where I'm at the minute, I'm just trying to piece old ideas and new ideas together.
What's your plans for this summer then? Obviously, you said you haven't got any gigs at the moment. What are you wanting to achieve? What's on your...
So I'm currently just auditioning for a lot of different stuff in the musical theatre realm. So I've just signed with an agency linked to my uni. So they're going to get me quite a few auditions and stuff, which is very exciting. And then this summer I'm teaching a lot. So I teach music for kids, which is amazing. I love them. So yeah, I'm just kind of working on some new music to release, teaching and auditioning. That's where I'm at the minute.
That sounds like a busy summer.
It is. I don't really ever have a day off, unfortunately.
So how did you get into the teaching then?
So it was actually through a tutor at my uni. He passed my name on to an principal of a stagecoach, and she was looking for a new singing teacher, and I met her and we had a lovely chat. And then she just asked me to come and teach the kids, and I absolutely loved it. And I think it went quite well. So here we are a year later.
So what age group do you teach?
They're from 6 to 16.
Oh, wow. That's quite a very wide age range.
Yeah. So they're split into 3 different groups. But yeah, there's some very young ones.
Do you enjoy that, or do you prefer working on your own music?
No, I do love teaching. I think, you know, seeing the kids with happy faces after they've learned something new or accomplished a new goal, like, just makes me so happy. So it really, it feels a different kind of joy for me that my music can't, you know, just, I guess, putting my expertise and what I've learned into young people and inspiring them, like, really makes such a difference in my head. So yeah, I think I find a lot of enjoyment in that.
It's quite interesting, isn't it? Because obviously you're sharing your knowledge and wisdom onto the next generation.
Yeah. And it's so nice because, you know, so many of them are so talented, and I can just see how bright their futures are going to be. And knowing that I can have even a tiny impact on that, even if it's just helping them this year along their way, makes, you know, just makes me proud and makes me happy for them.
I'm sure you'll have a big impact.
I hope so.
How do you find being in the recording studio then? Are you one of those people that can record in like kind of like one take? Are you one of those that does it in numerous takes? What's your sort of process in there?
So I'm definitely not a one take wonder. I think I'm too much of a perfectionist. So I'm constantly stopping and starting. And when I work with Joe, my producer, we are very like-minded in the sense of if something's not note perfect, we just say, nope, let's start again. And so for my most recent single, that's how we did it. We just did it phrase by phrase and did a couple of takes for each line and then built upon it, which was definitely a much smoother way of running things rather than trying to bash it all out in one take, just too stressful.
You kind of have to be a perfectionist, don't you? Because at the end of the day, it's your music.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if I didn't care about it as much as I do, then no one else would feel that from it. You know, I think a really special thing about music is you can hear and feel how much effort and care has gone into it from everybody involved. So if I didn't care about it as much as I do, then I don't think it would have as much of an impact.
The one thing I love about music is no matter what mood you're in, whatever day you've had, there's always something positive about music.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's, you know, it's very cathartic. I think obviously there are sad songs and there are happy songs, but oftentimes you can listen to anything and you feel something, regardless of what style it is and what genre. Just, it always makes you feel a little bit better after it.
And if you could co-write with any artist, who would it be?
Ooh, that is a tricky one. I think I would probably, maybe somebody like Katie Baser. I think she's really cool and she's completely different to my style of music, but I just think her lyrics are so clever that I would love to co-write with her. I think it would be a lot of fun.
So what are you going to do to make it happen? That's the question.
Oh, honestly, this is the thing. Katie, hit me up because I would love to co-write with you. I've actually done, so obviously TikTok is a big thing at the minute, and Katie did a TikTok of, oh, duet me, and it got quite a few views of writing your own lyrics. So maybe she'll remember me from that. You never know.
You never know. Do you keep sort of dropping into her DMs and sort of reminding her?
I haven't actually, but maybe I should. Maybe you've inspired me now to do that.
Do you co-write with other people or do you tend to just write your own stuff?
Up till now, I've written my own stuff. I would like to start co-writing with people because I think it's quite a cool thing to mix your ideas with somebody else's. But I think up to this point, all of the songs I've written have been so personal that it hasn't made sense to co-write with anybody. But I think now I would love to start delving into that because a lot of pop songs and country songs at the minute are co-writes. So I think it'd be a huge learning curve, if nothing else.
And with your music, where do you want it to go? What's your ultimate goal for your music career?
I would love to do my own tours, you know, have albums out there that people listen to, and then potentially from that move into musical theatre and just using my music as a platform to get me into the acting world as well would be really special. You know, we see it with so many artists nowadays, they overlap into musicals and films and TV. So I never want to box myself off into just one alleyway. I want to experience as much of the industry as I can. So I would love to end up like somebody like Ariana Grande or someone with that standing, but who does a little bit of everything as well.
Yeah, because she does acting as well, isn't she? Or she used to.
Yeah, she's going to be in the upcoming Wicked film. So that's kind of, I mean, I would love to do something like that. Yeah, I think it would be amazing.
I think the good thing is you're not kind of pigeonholing yourself into one sort of career, are you? You kind of got a couple that overlap each other, which is quite good.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, especially nowadays, you just have to be so malleable and you have to be up for anything because there are so many talented people in the world and so many people who are striving for the same thing as I am. It's just about going for every single opportunity that comes because you never know where it's going to lead.
And do you have any auditions in Manchester then that you'd go to? Or?
Yeah, so some of the cruises and musical theatre shows do audition in Manchester. It just depends really on what comes through on the website and what comes through to my agent and stuff.
So it's going to be a busy time for you then, isn't it? Because obviously your agent will be trying to get you auditions left, right and centre.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm one of those people, though, I work well when I'm busy. I hate being sat idle at home. So I think I need to constantly be focused and be busy. Otherwise, I don't know what to do with myself.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
There seems to be a lot of people that seem to manage to build the career or get noticed in a way from using TikTok. It
Yeah.
seems to be a good platform for people to get sort of recognition.
For sure. And I think that's definitely what I've tried to do over the past year or two, just really build my platform on TikTok and Instagram too, but not as much as TikTok because I think the algorithm just likes me more on TikTok, to be honest.
I think people tend to do better on TikTok. I don't know why
Yeah.
it seems to have a good reach, but
Yeah, I
it
guess
seems to
because
have a really good.
you don't need to really follow anybody to see their videos. It's more of a just the algorithm just helps people out when it fancies.
So, with your music theatre work and your writing your own stuff, what's kind of like the next thing that you're going to be working on?
So I'm working on a single at the moment with my producer Joe Sage. It's going to be called Rearview Lover, and it's more of an up-tempo country pop up-tempo song. So I'm steering away from the ballads for a little bit, and I'm going to lean into my more current country sound.
And do you think you have like a particular sound where you sound like a sort of you got like really your own sound?
I don't know. I think I try as much as I can to have my own sound, but I get told by different people all the time, "Oh, I think you sound like Anne Marie," or I get Meghan Trainor a lot actually, which is funny
Okay.
because I absolutely love her, but. Yeah, I get Meghan Trainor quite a bit, and I've got Anne Marie a few times. So, but I do try and keep my own sound as much as I can because I think that is so important as an artist to be original.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? If you want to be known as an original artist, you have to find your own sound.
For
And you
sure.
can
And
take inspiration.
you can take inspiration exactly, and you can look up to people and idolize people, but I'd never want to be. A tribute act to anybody whilst trying to promote my own music.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, what type of gigs have you played before then?
So they've mostly just been acoustic gigs. I've done a few weddings, I've done a few gigs in my hometown for charity events and stuff. Because I think when I was at home, most of my performing was in musical theatre or in showcases or cabarets, that kind of thing. But recently in uni, we performed in Band on the Wall. We did a gig there, which was really cool.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so that's quite a big rock venue in Manchester. So it was cool to be on the other side of the stage and be performing to a crowd of people on their feet. It was such a good night.
And with your musical theatre, if you could perform in either London or New York, which one would you want to perform?
Oh, that's such a tricky one. I want to say both, but I think for right now, I would say London because I just adore the West End. I adore Broadway too, obviously, but I think to be able to perform in the West End and my family and friends it would be easier for them to come and see me. I think that would be amazing.
I'm sure that you'll get a lot of opportunities in London.
I hope
You know,
so. I mean,
the
I
fact you've
think.
got an agent.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. Having someone to put you in the right rooms and push you in the right direction is such a big part of this industry. And, because it's as much as I'd love to do it on my own, I just can't. And nobody can do anything on their own. We all need a little bit of help. So I'm very grateful to have my agent now. It's a big help.
Yeah, I can imagine because even for people that are just singer-songwriters, they have to wear a lot of hats between writing the songs, organizing gigs, promoting the music, getting the airplay. So, I mean, you'd have to wear even more hats because you throw musical theatre into it.
Yeah,
So
it's
you're right, you need help with it.
yeah, for sure. It's too much for one person.
But what aspect of your music, whether it be music theatre or that you're singing songwriting, What aspect of it do you enjoy? What aspect of it do you not really enjoy?
I love the writing process and I love recording in the studio. Like, I find that really enjoyable because I'm driven, I'm focused, I know what I'm doing. Whereas I think when I'm performing on stage completely by myself without a band or anything, just to like a track, or even if it is with a band, I think that's much more daunting because it's you and you alone. Whereas in the studio, you've more time to relax and, you know, you can breathe into it a little bit more. You don't have hundreds of people watching you. So I think that's the bit of musical theatre, especially, that I find quite difficult, because it's like, oh God, all these people are waiting for me to be amazing. And, you know, sometimes you do have an off day, or you have a day where, you know, everything isn't working to the best of its ability, but you have to, the show must go on. So I think that's the hardest part, just living up to people's expectations.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? If you're on stage and all these people are, eyeballs are looking at you,
mm-hmm.
waiting.
Yeah, it's daunting for sure.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But, so with your, because obviously earlier you mentioned like a bit of anxiety and things like that. How do you overcome that then for like your live performances and things like that?
I think over the years, I've learned a lot of little tricks that I do before I perform. Like, I always just remind myself of the facts rather than the what ifs, because obviously when you're anxious, you just go, oh, what if this, what if that? But I've learned to just say, okay, there's no merit to any of those thoughts. You just have to look back on past experiences. Nothing's ever gone wrong. Nothing's going to go wrong. And if it does, you'll handle it. It'll be fine. So yeah, I think just reminding myself of the facts. And then before I go on stage, I always, whether I'm performing solo or with a group, I always just say, this isn't about me. This is about the people in the audience having a good time and everyone else on stage having a good time. So don't let my own ego ruin my own fun. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And have you got an ego?
I think everyone does. I think we all do, especially as performers or singers. I think if you didn't, you'd be in the wrong industry, really.
I agree. And I think it depends on the type of ego as well, doesn't it?
Exactly. I don't have a negative ego or a diva attitude, but I'm proud of what I do, and I am a perfectionist. And I think that's where the ego comes into play, because if I feel like I'm not living up to my own standards, then my ego gets a bit bruised.
Well, it's good to know you're not a diva.
Well, yeah. I mean, you might hear different, but...
You mean in the studio it could be different?
I mean more like my family would probably disagree, but...
That's fair enough. Families are allowed to.
Families are allowed to.
But, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Families, they'll always say different things to what you really think.
Yeah, exactly. So I take that with a pinch of salt.
Best thing to do.
Yeah.
With your music, would you like to do like tours abroad?
I would love to, yeah. I'd love to see the world as I perform and, you know, just travel as much as I can and meet as many new people as I can. I've always wanted to travel, so I think doing that with my music would make it even better.
You're obviously quite a people person then.
Yeah, I think I am. I like my alone time, but I think I'm definitely a bit of a social butterfly, and especially in recent years after the pandemic, I'm just like, get me out of the house and let me live.
I think we all feel like that now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so that's sort of what 3 years now?
Yeah.
So that was being chaotic times.
Yeah. So I think now that we're out of it, we just need to live as much as we can.
I was thinking, when you look back over the last 3 years, it was interesting because it's one of them periods of time where normally you think it happens to other generations, you know, like grandparents in their mm-hmm. time or something like that. And to think that we've actually lived through that, it'll be something we'll be telling our grandkids and whatnot.
I know, it's so weird to say that we've lived through like a monumental time in history. It's because I feel, because we've lived it, we don't really recognise that as much, but when we look back, it'll definitely be a crazy story to tell.
Like you'd be saying to like grandkids, you'd be like, you don't know how lucky you are.
Yeah.
We lived through a pandemic, we did.
Yeah, you don't have to stay in the house for weeks on end.
In my day.
Yeah, well, in my day, we couldn't.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's only been a crazy 3 years. I suppose though from, I mean, obviously, when you look at the music theatres and things like that, they were obviously heavily impacted from the pandemic and obviously not being able to go out and perform and things like that. Whereas I suppose with the music wasn't quite the same because they could move online to do like online gigs and things like that. So I suppose in one way, music had a bit of a luckier escape than the music theatre did, really.
Because you can do remote production and you can easily write things at home, and you know, Zoom and FaceTime was amazing for that kind of stuff. So we definitely had it easier in that way, and people wanted new music, people wanted to listen to new stuff all the time. So, but I think then the live performance definitely struggled a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is only natural given the circumstances, but yeah, so it was a weird time. But I think a lot of artists either really sunk their teeth into new material or kind of just took a break, both which are absolutely fine.
Well, it was perfect for both, wasn't it, really?
Exactly, yeah, there was no pressure to do either way.
I mean, I know some artists that did take a break through the pandemic. I know other artists that used it for writing new material. I know of others that were moving all the gigs to be online via Zoom and the other platforms as well. So
yeah,
people were doing all their own things, which is all absolutely fine. There's no sort of right or wrong.
Exactly, yeah. And there is no right or wrong with music anyway. I think it's all very, you need to just do it in your own time, or else if you're doing it for anybody else, you're never going to be putting out your best material or your best work. So we all just need to run on our own timelines and keep as calm ahead as possible.
Absolutely. And let's just hope we don't have another pandemic.
No, don't. I physically couldn't do another one.
I stopped watching the news because all they talk about is doom and gloom.
Oh, honestly, it's just so negative all the time.
Definitely.
Fed up with it.
You have like the negative from the pandemic, and then there was the bit about what bird flu or something, and then it was some viruses that you get in pigs or something.
Oh, it's like, honestly, it's just never ending. There's always something new.
It's just like, yeah, don't watch the news.
Yeah, just don't do it.
One of the questions that I always ask everyone that comes on the podcast is, if you were having a dinner party and you could invite six people, anybody you wanted, dead or alive,
ooh,
be and why?
Oh my gosh, that is such a good question. Right, so number one, Dolly Parton. Absolutely. I think she would just be a hoot. I think she'd be so much fun. Second person. Oh, I'm trying to fill it with as many. I think it would be a table of all women, simply because we could all share our ideas and just have a great time. They would all be music related, I reckon. I think probably Barbara Streisand.
Oh, okay.
I think she'd be amazing to talk to. This is really tricky. Six. Okay. Dolly Parton, Barbara Streisand, Renee Rapp, because as I mentioned earlier, I love her.
Three more.
You've stumped me here.
Imagine the table.
I know, I'm trying to picture everyone. And I'm trying to think of how would they work. Oh, okay, this is a random one, but Kris Jenner, I just think she would be class.
Kris Jenner, okay. Yeah.
So she's not music related, but I just think she would be hilarious at a table filled with Dolly Parton, Renee Rapp, and Barbra Streisand. They would probably all have something to relate to. And then I would throw my mom in there because I think her and Chris would get on great. And then to fill it out, probably mm, There is a... Oh, actually, no. Perry Edwards from Little Mix.
Right, okay.
I don't know why. I just think she's really cool and I would love to talk to her about music things and just about life in general.
But that is a good mix of people.
It's very odd. It's a very odd mix of people, but I feel like throwing Kris Jenner and my mom in there would definitely mix things up a bit.
Obviously, I don't know your mum, but the other ones all sound like strong, independent women.
Well, she definitely fits into that category. So.
Okay, then, we'll go with it. But I mean, that is a good mix of people. I mean, that would be a great, entertaining dinner party, wouldn't it?
Exactly. I just feel like it would be a table full of laughs, and that's all we need, really, isn't it?
Lots of alcohol, lots of laughs.
Lots of alcohol, lots of laughs. Exactly. Can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong with that, no. Dolly Parton singing a 9 to 5.
Oh, amazing. I'd join in.
But I mean, that would be a good mix of people. That would be good entertainment.
Yeah. I think that was quite a tricky one to answer, to be fair, but I think I'm happy with that.
You answered it very well.
Yeah, thank you.
Because, obviously, Perry Edwards, she was in Little Mix, wasn't she?
Yes, yes.
So, yeah. So,
I think she would be cool. And because she's left the band as well, it would be interesting to see how that all went down.
Did she leave the band or did they all just go on a bit of a break?
I think they all went on their own separate paths, but now I think she's going to produce some solo music. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so we shall see. But I love her. I think she's amazing.
And S Club 7 are bringing some music out, aren't they, without some...
Oh, are they?
Yes.
Didn't know.
There's
that.
A new song comes out in tribute to Paul.
Oh.
It comes out quite soon. It was on their Instagram page. But yeah, they're releasing a new song.
That's cool, isn't it? I'll definitely be tuning in for that one.
I think I will as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember them when they sort of started out and they had that sort of TV show that they had.
Yeah. I mean,
which was...
It's a vague memory. I mean, I never listened to their stuff that much, but they're just iconic, aren't they?
Yes.
Like, you can't go anywhere and not hear about S Club 7.
And you'll know at least one of the songs.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody, young or old, knows one of their songs.
But because they're doing a tour as well, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
They've got a tour coming up.
I find that with a lot of bands. Like, I would love to see so many bands either get back together or do, like, a reunion tour. Like, I would love to see a One Direction reunion tour.
Do you think they would do that?
No, but a girl can dream.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
I think maybe some of them would, but maybe not all.
Because I think Zayn fell out with them, didn't he?
Yeah, I think they had a bit of a bitter end. But maybe the rest of them would get back together.
And then Little Mix, I think they kind of fell out with that other lass, didn't they, that was in there?
Yeah, Jessie, she left before everybody else, and they all did fall out, didn't they? But I think the other three stayed quite close.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a shame, though, because they were, like, the most famous girl group ever.
I think they were one of the biggest ones, weren't they? Certainly one of the biggest that we've had for a long time.
For sure. And because they were so young as well, they had so long left in their careers, but I don't know, maybe it was just best for them to go their separate ways.
So you'd bring back One Direction.
Mm-hmm.
Which other band would you bring back?
Oh, it has to be Queen.
Good shout.
Yeah, it just has to be. If we could reincarnate their glory days, that would be the best. Can you imagine them performing at, like, Glastonbury or something?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
It would be the biggest thing ever.
Because they did have that other guy singing with them, didn't they? Adam Lambert.
Adam Lambert, yeah.
And not quite the same.
He's a good singer. He's amazing, but no one will ever be Freddie Mercury.
No.
And I think if we could have one last show of Queen, it would just be like everyone's world is made.
How about one last show with Queen featuring One Direction?
Oh my God. The dream. The absolute dream. The battle of the boy bands. Oh,
to be known as Queen Direction.
Queen Direction.
Or Direction
One
Queen.
Queen.
One Queen. You see, you were on it. You knew it.
I knew where I was going with that. One Queen.
One Queen. Wow. If Freddie wasn't dead, we could have brought that back.
Honestly, they should try and do it even still. And just like, there's a lot of technology nowadays. I'm sure they could create Freddie's voice.
They did, didn't they?
For the film.
They did something. Yeah. I think they've done it somewhere else as well.
Oh, have they?
Well, I'm sure they did it somewhere else where they had it, but it was kind of like, do they call it a hologram type of thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, they should do that for this.
For One Queen.
For One Queen.
That could be a seller.
I think that would be, I might write a song called One Queen. That would be a great idea.
I'll sit and wait whilst you do it.
Oh my God, you'll be waiting a while.
No rush, we've got all evening.
Oh no, thank you.
Queen, that's the future.
That is the future. That is the future of music, I'm telling you.
Because ABBA did something, didn't they? Where they didn't come back, but they did something. Was it ABBA Voyage or something they call
ABBA
it?
ABBA Voyage, yes. They did. And I think.
Did you experience that?
No, I didn't get to see it, but I've seen all the clips and stuff. I just think, like, that's such a smart, not only marketing move, but, like, everybody in the world was happier because they did that.
I think they made quite a lot of money from it, didn't they?
Oh, I'd say they made a fortune.
I was reading the other day that Taylor Swift makes $13 million per show for this tour.
Oh.
She has to pay for the tour costs out of it, but when you're thinking $13 million per show,
even if
it cost $10 million per show, she still made $3
million. Yeah, like that is just... oh. That's disgusting.
It's obscene money, isn't
it? Yeah. What does anyone do with that much money?
Buy a yacht, private jet, helicopter.
To be fair, there is a lot you can do with that much money.
Have you noticed I've obviously been thinking about
it? Yeah. I need to give it more thought.
I always think if I won the Euro Millions, what would I buy?
Oh, that is a good question. I'd probably buy like an estate of mansions and then put all of my favourite family members and friends in a house.
Do you know what I thought you were going to say?
What?
Buy a state of mansions and then put all the different bands in.
Okay, now that's an even better idea. Oh, could that's you brilliant. Imagine? I feel like it would go off the rails, though. There would be like there every night.
Potentially.
Can you imagine the parties that would be had?
Yes.
Yes, and I want to be there.
It'll be a wild party.
Oh, be the dream.
The other band I would bring back, I don't know whether you would, but the other one I'd bring back is the Beatles.
They were second on my list when you asked what band I would bring back. I think they just had something so special.
They did.
And I think they still do. Like, their music will always live on.
Definitely, especially with Paul McCartney. I mean, he must be about 104 and he's still belting his songs out.
Oh, God. can you imagine? If I'm like that at that age, I will be delighted.
I mean, I don't think he's 104, but...
Oh, no, but, I mean, he's close enough.
It feels like
he's... honestly, with how much he's lived and he's done great things, he may as well be 104.
But yeah, the Beatles, that'd be a good comeback.
Yeah. One last concert. That would be amazing.
Not quite the same, but you could bring Blue back.
I don't think I know Blue.
You've never heard of Blue?
No.
You're going to have to Google this. Oh, or at least YouTube it. Not now, obviously.
No.
Blue was a boy band. 90s?
No, I don't know them.
All Saints?
Mm-mm.
You've never heard of All Saints?
No. I'm not cultured. I feel like a fool.
Or you're over-cultured.
Or I'm over, yeah. That may be the problem, actually.
Yeah, there was Blue, there was All Saints. Who was that other one? Eternal?
I honestly feel like a fish out of water. I don't know them.
This is awkward.
Well, this was great.
Wow.
I mean, I was born in the year 2000, so maybe I've just missed it on the cusp.
That's now showing the age difference.
No, you could just be wide beyond your years.
Oh, bless you. No, there were 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, I think.
I'm going to Google them when I get off this.
Blue, All Saints.
Eternal.
Eternal.
Okay.
And I think Eternal had Gabrielle in it.
Oh, okay.
And then there was the other...
It's going to be one of those things I search it and I'm like, of course I know this.
You mean all three of them are going to be...
Well, maybe not all three, but I will search definitely at least one group and I will know.
Yeah, there was Eternal with Gabrielle. I think it was Gabrielle that was in it. And then there was Alicia Dixon. She was in a girl group. What was she in?
He was in... Oh... Alicia...
I can't remember it.
I actually watched her on... Didn't she judge like BGT or something?
Yes.
Yeah, I was watching clips of her the other day.
And then she was judging Strictly for a while as well, didn't she?
Yes. She was.
Yeah, she was in a girl group.
I need to really brush up on my music knowledge.
Don't worry, this is not a pub quiz.
It feels like one.
But, and then there's a lot of good bands that we could bring back, though.
Oh, for sure. For an estate of houses filled with the best bands in the world. I'd definitely put Spice Girls in there.
Oh, Spice Girls. They were another one that kind of fell out, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they fell out or they just, like, stopped, but it felt a bit abrupt.
Because one of them left, didn't they? Which is then why they released that song.
Yeah, what? Which one left?
Was it Jerry?
Ginger Spice.
Aye.
I think it was. Was it or was it? No, it wasn't Baby. I think it was Jerry.
We found a bit of a common denominator here. One person leaves, then they all give up.
Yeah, that is actually very true. I'm glad I'm not in a band. That's too much pressure.
Yeah, you don't want to be in a girl band, do you? They all seem to give up when one leaves.
Yeah, they fall out and then they're like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
I mean, to be fair, One Direction, they were a boy band and they fell out.
True, yeah, so... It's definitely not mutual to one gender, but who knows?
I wonder if it's because, and I'm only guessing here, but I wonder if it's because when you look at the likes of the Spice Girls, One Direction, even Little Mix, because they were so big and they were always like either touring, doing interviews and whatnot, do you get to the point where you just spend so much time with each other that eventually they start annoying each other?
It's probably like family. You just need a break. Like when you spend so much time with somebody in close proximity, they probably just thought, oh, we need space.
Maybe.
You can't blame them, really. I mean,
no, you can't.
But no. It is a shame, though, because so many of them, like so many of the groups, were just so amazing while they were together.
Have you heard of the Spanish girl group? I think they were around early 2000s, but Last Ketchup.
Last Ketchup?
Yes.
Never heard of them.
Wow.
Is that bad that I haven't heard of them?
No. They had a big summer hit.
As I said, need to brush up on them. But have they split up too?
I don't know whether they split up or not, because I think, were they not two or three sisters, I think? Like Bewitched.
Bewitched?
Bewitched. The group.
Yes.
They were sisters, weren't they? Or two of them were sisters.
They were sisters. Three of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know what else I'd bring back? Destiny's Child.
Oh, good shout.
Bring back Destiny's Child.
Say My Name. That was one of those, wasn't it?
Love that, yeah. That is one of the greatest R&B pop songs of all time.
So between your dinner party with your six guests and you're bringing back the band, I mean, that's great life, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty made up with that. I just need to win the lottery now and figure out how to reincarnate. Actually, no, wait, I don't think anyone I listed... Oh, no, everyone I listed is alive, so I can definitely make that happen.
What, the dinner party or the band?
The dinner party, and then the bands I'd have to... Yeah, the bands I'd have to figure out.
Is Barbra Streisand still alive?
I think she is.
She could be, I don't know.
I think she is. Love her. But, yeah, I think the dinner party would be fine. I could definitely organise that with enough money and connections. But the bands, that's going to take a little bit more figuring out.
I mean, to be fair, even the dinner party, you don't even have to go expensive with the food, just a little shop.
Picky bits from M&S.
Well, that's a bit upmarket, isn't it, M&S? Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't want Kris Jenner to walk out, so...
Do you think she's likely to be the one that would throw the trifle across the room?
Yeah, honestly, if it's going to be anyone, it would probably be Kris.
Oh, dear. So where can people find you online then? Where do you hang out on your social media?
So you will see most of me on TikTok, which is just my full name, at Alva Cook. And that is spelled A-I-L-B-H-E. For everybody who doesn't know how to pronounce my name, it's pronounced Alva. And I am the same on Instagram, Alva Cook, with three E's on the end of Cook.
Three E's?
Three E's, just to spice it up, you know?
Fair enough, why not? Was there only one E taken?
Oh, I think it actually was, you know. I think that's why I did it.
So annoying, isn't it?
So annoying. I wish I had the same handle for all my social media, but it's just never going to happen. In a perfect world, maybe.
Gets too awkward, doesn't it, when someone takes like a spelling of something and you're kind of like, right, now we need to find something that looks sort of similar. But...
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the worst.
And what do you make of Threads? Are you on Threads?
I'm not on that yet.
Why?
But everybody's raving about it. I don't know. I think I just haven't had the time to actually join.
To be fair, it's very similar to Twitter.
It's like Twitter for Instagram.
Yes.
Which seems really odd.
It's like Twitter, but for people that know how to be nice to each other.
Love that. Well, I will be joining then.
Yeah, it's like Twitter, but without the toxicity.
Love that. That sounds very positive. I will definitely join.
Because Twitter's rebranded, hasn't it? They're now calling it X.
Are they?
Yes.
Didn't know that. That's wild.
So Elon wants to make it into a super app, like some Chinese...
Oh, right.
WeChat app or something.
That's bizarre that they change it after that long.
So it's going to be known as X. And you won't send tweets, you send X's.
Wow. I don't know.
To me, sick. to me, X sounds like something you call somebody once you've left.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm going to send my ex. No, thank you.
Exactly. So when people leave Twitter to go to Threads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to get everyone on the Thread bandwagon.
I like Threads because it's full of positive people and it also uses the same followers and followings that you've got on Instagram.
Okay.
You don't start from zero. You start from whatever you've got on.
I like that. I might actually join it tonight now that we've said it. I'm inspired.
I feel you should.
I think I should.
Well, it's been fantastic speaking with you.
Thank you. It's been lovely. Thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome. And good luck with all your sort of future things with your auditioning and your music theatre stuff. You're going to be busy in no time with all these different shows and whatnot.
Hopefully it's all gonna pan out for the best. And yeah, so lovely chatting to you. Thank you so much.
Well, that is all we've got time for this week. Our hour is up. A big thanks to Alva Cook for being a guest on the podcast. A big thanks to also you guys, the listeners. Join us next week for another episode. Until then, have a great week.